Hello and welcome to another episode of Relationship Alive. This is your host, Neil Satin. If you have ever felt like you wanted to be doing something, and instead of doing it, you put it off to do another day, and you did something else that you really didn't want to be doing, in other words, procrastinating, then today is going to be a great show for you, a powerful show. Because what you're about to hear is a session that I did with David Burns as a follow-up to the session that he did with me on facing the overwhelm that I was feeling with the sheer number of things I was trying to do. You may have heard that session back in episode 228. And we did a follow-up to address procrastination specifically. So, and if you are a therapist or a coach and you work with people around procrastination, then along with getting the guidance of hearing how David Burns works with me, we also go into some very specific pointers at the end of the episode so that you don't make some important mistakes that we often make when we're trying to help people deal with procrastination. So it is a jam-packed episode, and as usual, we'll have a detailed transcript of the episode, which you can get if you visit neilsatin.com/feelinggood5. I've used Feeling Good for each of the episodes with David Burns, so this will be the fifth one. The very first one was just Feeling Good, so it's not Feeling Good One. So Feeling Good, Feeling Good Two, Feeling Good Three, et cetera, et cetera. And all of that was based on the fact that David has a book called Feeling Good that's sold millions of copies worldwide. And it's a classic on overcoming depression and anxiety. And it's been shown that just reading the book actually has a positive impact on dealing with depression. This episode right now is coming out just as David released the long-awaited follow-up to Feeling Good called Feeling Great, the revolutionary new treatment for depression and anxiety. And this book basically takes all of David's learnings since putting out Feeling Good decades ago and is basically a rewrite that incorporates all of the new things that he's learned along the way. And I actually just got my copy, so I haven't even had a chance to read it yet, but I'm really excited to check it out. It's definitely going to be a powerful book. As you can probably tell, if you've listened to these sessions that I've done with David Burns and the profound impact that they've had on me. So I wanted to share this episode with you on procrastination because it was super helpful for me, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be really helpful for you as well. And I'm just going to ignore the fact that I've been putting off releasing this episode for months now. Ha ha ha. Before we dive in, I just want to remind you that Relationship Alive is an offering for you so that you can have the best relationship possible, or relationships possible with yourself, with others. And if you're finding the show to be helpful, please consider a donation to ensure that we can continue. You can choose anything that you feel comfortable with, and honestly, every little bit counts. So to do that, just visit neilsatin.com/support, or you can text the word support to the number 33444 and follow the instructions. And this week, I'd like to thank Angie, David, Scott, Drew, Lydia, Anne, Valerie, Kirti, Jules, Cynthia, and Jane. Thank you all so much for your generous and, in most of those cases, ongoing support of Relationship Alive. Couldn't do it without you. Also, just a quick reminder that I have a free guide to my top three relationship communication secrets. These are the kinds of things that you can put into practice that will make communicating about anything, especially challenging things, easier and help you stay connected to the people that you love while you are talking about something challenging. To download that free guide, just visit neilsatin.com/relate or text the word relate to the number 33444 and follow the instructions. And this free guide is also the precursor to the full Secrets of Relationship Communication course that you can get if you visit neilsatin.com/course, C-O-U-R-S-E. So lots there that's available for you. And lastly, just want to remind you that we have a free Facebook group called the Relationship Alive Community, where we're creating a safe space for you to hang out and get support about whatever's going on for you and your relationships. So come join us there. I think that's it. We're going to just dive in to this episode with David Burns. And we start by doing a little quick follow-up and check-in about the session on overwhelm that we did. And so, you know, you'll get a little taste of that if you haven't heard that episode yet. And then we are off to the procrastination races with tackling my procrastination. So let's dive right in.
Well, I've been doing well. It's been interesting to have now a couple days of waking up and kind of feeling that overwhelm feeling start, and then to actively be engaged in some dialogue around that, like, you know, basically like, I don't have to listen to you, and this is, you know, this is bullshit. I'm gonna do what I need to do, and the overwhelm isn't helping. And it's interesting that that's been pretty effective, actually.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick tune-up thing here, and then we'll push forward.
Great.
See how good you are at all of that. No. What's your name?
Neil.
What's my name?
You'll be Neil, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right.
And I just wanted to remind you once again that the fact is you're failing.
Yeah, I don't have to listen to a thought like that right now.
You don't, but it is factually true. That's all I'm saying.
It's not true that I'm failing. It's true that I have a lot to do, and I'm going to figure out what's most important, and I'm going to do what's most important right now. And overall, the trajectory of my life is pretty good. I've gotten a lot accomplished, and there's plenty of evidence to support that I'm actually doing fine, that I'm not failing.
Who won?
I won.
Big or small?
Big.
Big or huge?
I would say not quite huge, but pretty big.
Okay, great. Do a role reversal. I thought it was quite strong, but do a role reversal.
Okay. Hey, Neil.
Hey, how are you doing, big guy?
Well, I could be doing...
getting a little lonely without you.
I could be doing better. The problem is that you're failing.
Well, you know, I've failed at many things throughout my life, and I've succeeded at many things throughout my life. But I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. Are you referring to the fact that I'm procrastinating at some things, or is there something else you're suggesting?
Yeah, I would say that right now it's that there's a lot that needs to get done, and you're not doing enough of it.
Well, you're right about that, and actually I don't intend to.
You don't intend to?
No, I'm not going to try to take on all that stuff and listen to your bullshit. I might take on one thing, get started on one thing I've been putting off, but the idea that somehow I have to do all of this, that just makes me feel, it's just a kind of a stupid thing that you're saying, because I, you know, when you say I'm failing, it's just not like I'm some failure, or there's some grandiose failing going on. There are people all over the world right now who are kind of cooped up and with coronavirus and kind of procrastinating a little bit and feeling down. And, you know, I wouldn't go about telling them that they're failing. That would be ridiculous. And I don't appreciate it when you do that to me either.
All right. I guess I won't.
Who won?
You won.
Big or small?
That was big.
Big or huge?
Yeah, I'd say that was huge. Okay. I liked tying in kind of the common human experience as well.
Yeah. Well, Neil, the fact is, though, that you're failing. Don't you forget it.
I think it's pretty clear that I'm not failing. And there may be times in my life where I failed, and this isn't one of them. And those times, I just got right back up again. So even if I were failing, it wouldn't be that big a deal. I'm not going to let it stand in my way.
You don't have to let it stand in your way, but just don't forget that you're failing.
Well, I don't.
You're failing.
It
you're
doesn't
failing.
Actually. Yeah, I don't. I don't really choose to listen to you. You're.
Well, you can deny me, but I speak the truth.
No, you're speaking bullshit. You're speaking
okay, who
bullshit.
Won?
I won. You were awfully insistent.
Yeah. Did you win big or huge or medium or what?
No, that was big.
Was it big or huge?
Well, in the end, it was huge. Who do you think you're talking to when you're talking to that voice? Are you talking to yourself? Are you talking, like, I was thinking about this the other day because I think in other schools of thought, right, we were talking the other day about schools of thought and therapy, that I could imagine, I was thinking about Dick Schwartz, who created Internal Family Systems, and I wonder, because I imagine that his approach would be more to, like, enlist that part within you, that it's this part that's negative and that's gone negative, but that it's really just trying to protect you from something. And once you address what it's trying to protect you from, then you can enlist the gifts of that part. Like the other day, we talked about that part's clarity and ability to see things clearly. Although, you know, and when it's gone into overdrive like that, it's bringing the whole system down. So I was curious because I was reflecting on like the difference between keeping that part on board but steering its job to a more positive place versus just being like, fuck you, that's bullshit. I'm not going to listen to you.
Well, there's three ways you can defeat a negative thought.
Mm-hmm.
Self-defense, the acceptance paradox, and the counterattack technique.
Mm-hmm.
And the counterattack technique is the kind of that's BS.
Mm-hmm.
The acceptance paradox is to find some truth in the thought and agree with it with a sense of humor, a sense of inner peace. And then that's the acceptance paradox. And then the self-defense is to say it's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons A, B, and C. And all three of those approaches have value and you know, positive reframing, which we kind of did. You got a little, I think, tired of it or didn't tune into it as much as perhaps, you know, when you might have. But that's very similar to what Schwartz is saying, that all of our negative thoughts and feelings have a lot of positive embedded in them. They're expressions of what's most beautiful and awesome about us.
Mm.
And so these are all worthwhile. I can show you a gentle way to defeat that thought. Hit me with that.
Neil, you're failing. I'm just here to remind you you're failing.
Well, you know, I often fail. For me, failing is an important part of learning and growth. But right now, you know, not only I'm failing, I'm not that bright. And so I don't know quite what you're talking about. Can you tell me what I'm failing at right now?
Right. You're failing at your career isn't as successful as it should be. With
oh really? How successful should it be between 0 and 100 or 0 and 1,000? You know, it's pretty successful. It would be great to have it be, you know, 10 times as successful. But what really are you referring to?
Yeah, I would say that you should be at least at an 80 or a 90, and you're at more like a 50 or a 60.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, how are you going to talk back to that thought? It's a should statement, isn't it? That's
yeah,
the distortion.
Right.
What's wrong with should statements?
Well, a should statement is assuming something to be true.
Yeah. Uh-huh, right. There's three valid uses of the word should in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
One is the moral should.
Right.
Like, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Second is the legal should. You should not drive at 100 miles an hour down the freeway because you'll get a ticket. You might get into an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the laws of the universe. Should you see this? What should happen if I drop it?
Uh-huh. Right. It will fall and hit the table.
Yeah, it should fall because it's obeying the laws of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say you should be at a 80 or 90 on whatever success scale you have in mind, and you're only a 50 or 60, then you should be at an 80 or 90. Is that a moral should?
I don't think it's any of those shoulds.
Yeah, so it's not a correct use of English language. Now, you could substitute, it would be great to be at a 80 or 90, perhaps. I don't even know that. It might not be great, but it might be great. It would be fun to be at an 80 or 90. Is that all you were telling me, that it would be great to be at an 80 or 90? Or are you telling me I had some moral duty to be at an 80 or 90, or I'm violating the laws of the universe? I don't quite know what you mean.
Oh, wow. I just got a chill from that. But yeah, it would be great to be at an 80 or a 90.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm working on expanding my impact and my recognition, and it's been growing tremendously. I'm a lot more well-known than the day I was born, and I'll probably be a lot more well-known next year as compared with today. But I'm kind of having fun right now, just being where I'm at and hanging out with David. And as long as I don't listen to you buzzing in my ear, life can actually feel pretty good, and I have some creative projects I'm going to get started working on. But what would happen to me if I was an 80 as opposed to a 60? Would people adulate me? Would they knock on the front door to tell me they loved me? Or, you know, would I have some high level of happiness that I'm not capable of having today?
I think you'd have more financial security.
More financial security sounds great. There's only one thing better than more financial security.
What's that?
Tuning you out. Then I'll have happiness. You know, people have a lot of financial security and they're not necessarily happy. But, you know, I've got more financial security than I had 10 years ago, I suspect, right?
Definitely.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to be proud of what I've done, and I'm going to keep creating and doing more. And the less I listen to you, the more I'll get done. but you know, you're a useful reminder to me that when I'm kind of procrastinating or kind of falling short, so I want you to keep reminding me a little bit.
I can do that. I can remind you that it would be great if you started working on the things that you want to be getting done.
Well, I'm actually going to do that today. David's going to give me the secret of how to do that.
Perfect. Then we're in good shape.
So who won there? That's not like we won.
We won, yeah.
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 So should we push on to the next plateau?
Let's do that. And I think the just to clarify too, the acceptance paradox, I think I heard you do that, you know, a little bit earlier when I said there are all these things that you should be doing, maybe. I can't remember exactly what I said.
Yeah.
And you said, yeah, and I don't plan to. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like, that's true. Like, I'm not doing all those things. Was that the acceptance paradox as well? Or?
Yeah, that's the acceptance paradox.
Yeah.
Say to me, David, you should be doing more.
David, you should be doing more.
That's probably true, but I've decided to do less.
Right.
And it's, I think of those three techniques, it's the most powerful, but the various three ways of, you know, defeating negative thoughts have various purposes and roles. They're all very effective. Telling yourself that you're very successful already is self-defense. I was talking to Linda Jackson this morning, who's, you know, the publisher I mentioned, and I was telling her how awesome you are, and I'm sure many people feel that way, but what good is it of having accomplished a lot of things if you can't give yourself some credit and kind of admire, you know, what you've been doing. Tell me a little bit about the procrastination. What happens when you're procrastinating?
What happens when I'm procrastinating? So generically, when I'm procrastinating, there's something that crosses my mind and the way it crosses my mind is, oh, I want to do this thing right now. And usually the way it works for me is there ends up being a whole list of, all right, I want to do that, I want to do that, I want to do that. I end up making a like sort of a mental list, and then I get to, okay, I want to make a list and organize all those things so I don't forget them and so that I can attack them strategically. And I might start procrastinating there, where the, even though I know I at that point need to make the list, or at least that would be my assumption, then I get really good at finding other things to do.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds familiar and not atypical at all.
Yeah. And sometimes the other things to do is like, I'll start to do the thing, but then my mind just gets kind of like peppered with like, oh, you forgot this thing. Oh, you forgot that thing. And I'll start writing those things down. It's not uncommon though for one of those things to be suddenly super urgent. Oh, right. I didn't pay that thing, or my kids are hungry. I got to make some lunch for them or whatever it
is.
And so it's, then I'm kind of off doing something else and it can take a little while to come back around.
Right. Well, I'll show you an approach that's been helpful for me and for many people. And, you know, this always kind of a experiment or a test to see if it worked. But Great. Let me ask, is would you like help with your procrastination?
Definitely.
When would you want to be helped? What day would you want to be helped on?
Today.
Today. What time today?
What time today would you?
Yeah.
How about now?
You want help overcoming procrastination while you're having the therapy session about procrastination, or perhaps at a time after we're done with the session?
Oh, I thought you meant, when did I want to start working on procrastination?
Well, we can work on it right now, but I want to know when you want your procrastination to come to an end. What time today?
Well, how about immediately when we're done?
Okay, so that's going to be 11:30 because I have a conference call with a couple of colleagues at 11:30. So now, what is one thing that you'd like to do at 11:30 that you've been putting off?
I would like.
It could be your editing. It could be making your list of things. It could be anything you want.
Yeah, I think so. There are two things that jump out at me. One is making my list, and the second would be finishing my books for 2019, my financial books.
Oh, yeah, that's horrific. Yeah, I had that one earlier. In my retirement trust, I've been collecting world coins and paper money since I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
And so I've put some investment in world paper money. And then I thought, gosh, I'm getting older, and if something were to happen to me, it'd be easy for me to sell it than for Melanie to know how to sell it. So I consigned a huge amount of stuff to this Heritage Auctions in Dallas, and they've done a fabulous job of auctioning this stuff. And then I had a whole year of invoices I had to go through. How much did I pay for this item, and how much did they get for it? And so for Uncle Sam,
right,
for your income tax reporting. And boy, I was putting that off all year, and I had to bite the bullet on that to get it by our accountant said by February 1 is the drop dead date. And so I was really got myself doing that. And once I got into it, it wasn't that bad, but I can tell you, boy, I was really avoiding that one. So I know that thing. Now, do you want to do the list or the work on the financial books at 11:30?
Well,
it doesn't make any difference.
I know that those books have to get done. So and I know that's harder.
Okay, great. So let's work on that one then.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something here. Would you be willing to work on those books from 11:30 to 11:35 only?
Sure.
Okay. Now, let's make a little list. This is called Little Steps for Big Feats. Take a piece of paper.
Okay.
And let's break up the task of doing those books into little tiny steps, one, okay. 2, 3, 4, 5. And each step has to be something you can accomplish in, say, 10 or 15 seconds or 30 seconds or 1 minute or something like that. So what's the very first thing you'd have to do?
Very first thing I'd have to do is decide where I'm working.
That's a mental decision,
yep.
Right? Well, mm-hmm. Can you make that decision right now?
Sure. So I will actually sit here in my room where I'm less likely to be disturbed by my homeschooling children.
So step number one is sit down in my, is this your office or what is this?
This is my everything room at the moment.
So. Okay, in my, I'll put room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what's the second thing you're going to have to do?
Second thing I'll have to do is make a small list of the different tasks associated with getting my books done, because it can be a little complicated.
Okay, and so you'll make this little small list on a piece of paper.
Yep.
Okay. List necessary tasks. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Like there might be 3 or 4 tasks.
Right. Right. Uh-huh. It's basically like all the different places that I have to look for what my income sources were, and then all the different places I have to look for what my expenses were and make sure I don't miss anything.
Okay, what's the third step? Say it might be one of the things you just mentioned.
Yeah, I think the third step would be to look at what's done already, and there's a decision that needs to happen about whether I pick up where I left off or just scrap the whole thing and start from the beginning again, because it might be easier to do that.
You're going to have to make that decision now, and because we're going to have to fill up 5 minutes with specific things that can be done in 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. So in this moment, I have to decide.
You made a list of necessary tasks.
Yeah, I'm going to start over. I'm going to start over.
Okay. So should we cross out number 2 from your list?
No, because starting over still is going to need number 2.
Okay.
Yeah, starting over just basically means like deleting all the work that I had already done that was only partial. And I think it's going to be more complicated to figure out what I already did and didn't do than because I got kind of interrupted midway through. Yeah.
So would step 3 be delete previous efforts?
Yes.
Or put them in a separate file or something?
Yeah.
Okay, 3 is delete previous efforts. And then what's step 4?
Step 4 would be basically importing all of my, like, for each place where I have income transactions, to import all of those list items into my software.
Okay, so put import income information into software.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, is that something you know how to do there, that one?
Yep.
Okay. And what's step number 5?
We've probably gone over 5 minutes at this point, but step number 5 would be to categorize everything that got imported.
Would it be categorize everything or categorize one thing or?
Got it. So
you categorize one thing first.
Yeah. So what I would do is,
or you look at them and then organize them into different buckets.
Exactly. So like one bucket at a time, I kind of group all the transactions together and then I can categorize it.
So let's just say group one category together. Now, Now, I have some more questions for you. You said you needed help, you know, overcoming your procrastination, right? So let's look at this list and see what step you might need help with. Do you need help with step one? Sit down in my room.
No, I can do that.
Do you need help with step two? List the necessary tasks.
I think what I would probably need help with is not step two, but what might happen between step one and step two, which would be the temptation to open my computer and see what the news, what the latest news is, or about the coronavirus.
Now, take a new piece of paper and draw a line down the middle and label the left-hand column problems and the right-hand column solutions.
Okay.
So the first problem is might want to stop after step one and look for the news. Can you think of any other problems that might come up, you know, prior to step one or at step two or step three or at any point?
Yeah, so there's, you know, along with the news, there's check my email, check my texts, like.
So problem number two might want to check email, phone.
Yep.
Phone, et cetera, right?
Yep.
Any other problems that you think might interfere?
I think it's likely that before too long, I will feel like I need to check in with my children to make sure they're on task for their homework.
Okay. We'll have urge to check in with children. Now, I'm going to ask you some more of this, but let me ask you another question. Are you willing to make an irreversible guarantee to do these five steps at 11:20 and then to stop after 5 minutes?
So you want me to promise that I will only work for 5 minutes and then stop?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're only allowed to work on this project for 5 minutes from 11:30 to 11:35.
Okay. And if I, what happens if I don't keep that agreement and I keep
working? At 11:35, you can send me one of two emails.
Okay.
Mission accomplished or I stubbornly refused.
Okay.
Do you agree to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's look at some of the interfering problems here and how you're going to deal with them between 11:30 and 11:35. You're going to want to stop after step one and look at the news.
Right.
And is that a solvable problem?
Yes, it's a solvable problem.
How would you solve that?
Well, between one and two, that's just sitting down and getting a piece of paper out so I could not even have my computer near me or open or my phone near me. So that all I have is that piece of paper.
Okay, so the solution will be to do this on a piece of paper.
The list, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, once I'm in the doing of the thing, I'm going to be on my computer. So
sure. So yeah. for step two is do the list on a piece of paper. Right.
Right.
Is that a sufficient solution there to that problem?
Yeah. Yeah. To do that on a piece of paper and to not have my devices near me.
Right. Now, when delete previous efforts will require your computer, right?
Correct.
Step three?
Yeah.
And so you're going to want to check your email, the news, the phones, and so forth. Is that a solvable problem? You sat down in your room and you spent a minute listing necessary tasks on a piece of paper. And now we want to delete previous efforts. And you're going to have the urge to check email, phones, news on the coronavirus, urge to maybe help the children. Let's take the wanting to check email and phones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are options are coming up for me. Like, I mean, I know that there are apps that keep you from looking at, like, you can say which websites you want to not look at, and then you have to like type in a password, or like it creates a little bit of a burden for you to actually look. And there really aren't that many sites that I check. So if I limited, you know, Facebook and the Daily Kos and Gmail, then that would pretty much take care of the ways I would be tempted to most easily procrastinate.
Okay, and you have the software to do that?
I don't, so I'd have to get it. There needs to be another step in there.
Should we say then that this is not a doable task then for you from 11:30 to 11:35? Because you'd have to find a solution you can do between 11:30 and 11:35.
Okay, so I mean, I want to say that I could just not do it, or I could just tell myself that I'm not doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it happening and say and stop myself.
Is that an effective solution?
If I actually do it, it's effective.
No, I'm talking about now. Can we get an irreversible, 100% guaranteed solution to that problem?
Right.
Because we might not be able to. It might not be possible to prevent yourself from skimming email and news sources between 11:30 and 11:35.
Well, that's what's so frustrating for me. Is that for all the times that I have checked my email and looked at the news, within me, there's the thought that I should be able to just not do this.
I'm not so much interested in the past, but I'm saying it sounds like you're saying this is not a workable solution today between 11:30 and 11:35, which is cool, and this might not be a solvable problem.
Well, it feels like I have to do one of two things. One is to just say, all right, I'm going to make a commitment that between 11:30 and 11:35, I just will not do that. And I would, and maybe the time boundary of it, and knowing that theoretically I'm only working on this for 5 minutes, would help me muster up the willpower to not easily distracted.
Well, is that a sufficient solution? I'm just looking for a guaranteed, irreversible, 100% solution. And if that's not, then that's totally okay.
Is there anything that occurs to you that would be a better solution to this problem?
No, I can't think of anything. It sounds impossible to solve to me.
Okay. Where do we go from here?
Wherever you would like to go, but it sounds to me like it's not very appealing to you to commit this 5 minutes from 11:30 to 11:35,
and that's
totally cool.
I can commit to 5 minutes. I can do that. I can do it.
But what if you get this urge to go looking at the news or the virus or the emails? Because you told me that's something you can't resist.
I think I can for only 5 minutes. I probably can for longer than that, but I can commit to not doing it for 5 minutes.
Okay, put that in the right-hand column. I can commit to resisting for five minutes. Now, are you sure you want to make that commitment?
Yes.
Okay, and then how about problem number three? You'll have the urge to check in with the children.
Yeah. Well, it's only 5 minutes, so I think what I might want to do is have a preparatory 5 minutes before I jump into this task and check in with the kids ahead of time.
put that in the right-hand column. Change schedule to 11:35 to, or I mean, to 11:40.
And check in with kids beforehand.
Yeah. Okay. Is that something that sounds workable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, are there any other, if you look at your list of five things, any other things that will interfere, like delete previous efforts, import income information, group one category together?
I think the, like, looking at those, there are two things that come to mind. One is that before I delete everything, I could see myself kind of hemming and hawing, like, is this really the right choice? Should I be deleting all these things versus just trying to resurrect my old work? So I could see that, like, losing some time to that hesitation.
Put that in the left-hand column. Problem number four, I'll hem and haw about the choice of deleting previous work.
And then the last thing would be, and granted, I'm going back to my commitment that this, that for 5 minutes I can commit to not doing this. If for some reason I were working longer than 5 minutes, I could see needing a break from the tedium of any of the subsequent tasks where I'm getting into categorizing and things like that. And then I would have the instinct to click on a thing.
Well, will you need a break during... We're only focusing on 5 minutes.
I don't need a break during 5 minutes.
Yeah, I won't need a break. So how are you going to handle hem and haw about the choice of deleting previous work? How is that a solvable problem?
Yeah, that is a solvable problem. So I feel like I could either just decide that's what I'm doing and it doesn't matter. Like, there's no not doing it. That's just what I'm doing. So that's one option. Another option is to set a timer for 60 seconds where I allow myself to look at what's there and make a final decision. But that decision has to happen at the end of that time period.
So does either of these options seem like that would be workable? I wrote down just decide now or allow 60 seconds. Those are the two options you mentioned.
Yeah, I think allowing 60 seconds, because I have this sneaking suspicion / memory that deleting lots of things might be easier said than done, but I could be wrong. So if it's super easy to delete everything, then no problem. If it's super challenging to delete everything, then it might... I think it's worth taking 60 seconds to, like, do the calculus about what's going to be more efficient so I can choose whatever's more efficient.
So we'll take the 60-second option.
Yep.
Would there be a problem with, you know, wanting another 60 seconds and another 60 seconds?
Well, I think that it might be helpful to decide ahead of time what my criteria is going to be for making the decision.
Okay.
Yeah, so that I'm really clear on what I'm basing this choice on.
So do you want to list the criteria now in the right-hand column?
Yep, I can do that.
Oh, okay. So what would they be?
The criteria is is it quick and easy to delete everything?
Mm-hmm.
The second would be, or maybe the question is more, what challenges would deleting everything create?
Mm-hmm. And what kind of challenges are those that you're thinking about?
Well, yeah, so the only one that really comes to mind is I can't remember if I have, like, accounts linked. And if that's the case, sometimes it's weird where, like, you link an account and then when you go back to like relink it, it won't upload like all the old transactions that you deleted, because like somewhere in the system there's still a record of it having been uploaded at some point in time. So it's more like, by deleting everything, am I going to make it more challenging for me to do the actual steps I need to do, the import steps?
How will you determine the answer to that question?
So I would choose like a sample transaction and try deleting it, and I might also look at, I can't even remember if I did link any accounts, honestly, so it may be that it's totally moot and like this is a non-issue.
So under the task, delete previous efforts, I put start with one transaction, check on linkages.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be step four.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then step five would be import income information into software.
Yeah.
Not step four.
Yeah.
And step six would be group one category together.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good fix. Can you see anything else that would prevent you from spending 5 minutes on these steps?
No.
Okay. So then, do you have an irreversible commitment to doing this from 11:35 to 11:40?
Yes.
And then stopping?
Yes.
And send that email?
Yes.
Okay. Great. That's it.
David, we need to take a quick break here in our session, and this is amazing work that we're doing, just to mention this week's sponsor. So if you are looking for some extra support around things that get in the way of your happiness or achieving your goals, like, for instance, procrastination, one great way you can do that is from the comfort of your own home or office or anywhere, really, using BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can chat via text with your counselor at any time, and you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions all without having to go anywhere. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. They also offer a broad range of expertise so that you can find the person most suited to helping you with your own unique situation. In fact, so many people are using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So whether it's depression, stress, anxiety, your relationship, procrastination, family conflicts, whatever is up for you, try out BetterHelp to help you move past the places where you are stuck. To start living a happier life today, you can try BetterHelp and get an extra 10% off your first month because you are a listener of Relationship Alive. So just visit betterhelp.com/alive and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, help.com/alive. And thanks so much, BetterHelp, for your support of Relationship Alive and our mission to improve relationships worldwide. And now, David, let's dive back into the session.
The one thing we didn't get into, the help that most people want with procrastination is finding the motivation to get started.
Oh, right.
Was that something you were looking for?
For sure. So that's like the, all right, how do I make myself actually sit down at 11:35 because I've committed to it?
Yeah. Well, the answer to that is you're not entitled to motivation.
Okay. So what does that mean?
Well, what comes first, motivation or productive action?
I think I see where this is going.
Yeah, where's it going?
I would say motivation. That's what I would say. But my experience tells me that when I get started, I tend to be more motivated to continue.
That's what happens to me. Did you think I was ever going to get motivated to tackle that odious list? I didn't know where my records would be. I was afraid I couldn't find a list of what I'd paid for things. it was overwhelming. And, you know, then there's, it was a good Warriors game on TV. So you have to agree to do this list without any motivation.
Mm. So it's accepting that that's just the state of affairs. Is that
it's a shitty thing you have to do.
Yeah.
Now, once I got into my task, there was a little panic here and there for the first few hours and first few days I was working on it. Because I started giving myself a lot of messages that weren't true, like maybe I don't even have the records of what I paid for these things, and maybe it's going to be very difficult to sort out. But once I got into it, it began to dawn on me that those thoughts weren't true. And then before I was done with it, I actually began enjoying listing what I'd paid and seeing what the profits were and stuff like that. But I had to accept the fact that it would be very, very difficult for me at first, and also accept the fact that it on faith that once I started getting the task accomplished, I'd probably start feeling motivated and proud of myself for having done it. But the idea of waiting for motivation, if you wait for motivation, you're going to be waiting forever, because I can guarantee you'll never feel motivated to get started on this task.
All right, then I won't wait to be motivated. I will just follow my commitment, even if it's begrudgingly, because I'm not feeling motivated.
Yeah, you can hate me if you want.
That burns.
Yeah. And for me, you know, starting out with a 5-minute thing is great. That's actually a pretty big chunk of time. Now, like, I'm kind of cleaning up my office a little bit. It's not that bad because I do it about once a week. And I started, you know, I just had a 3 minutes before the call with you, and I stapled a bunch of things. I put them in a stack here. Because I'm looking for some show notes that I have to write up on a thing we recorded the 5:30 Monday night, and so I'm looking for my notes, and so I thought, well, if I just organize my, and I just found them. See, all these things were on top of them, and I started stapling them, and it wasn't that hard, and that now I'm really motivated to what's this folder here to file my office? What's this? Oh, this is my list of passwords. So I'm just going to put this where it belongs. Easy. I always start out with something really easy. And sometimes when it comes to, you know, straightening up my office, I'll do something as little as just finding a little. Oh, here's like a little scrap of paper I just found right here.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the floor. And I'm just going to walk over and put it in the wastebasket. And that felt really good. And so I'm started working on my office, and now here's the things from Zena. This is awesome, so I can write the show notes from this piece of paper I found. And then what's this over here? Here's the notes from our session right now. I'm going to put a stapler through them, and I'll combine it with our other, and I'll put those in a file folder, those two, in case we ever want to go back and refer to them. I just give myself ridiculously easy things to do, and that will hook me into a task. Mm-hmm. And then once I get started with it, most tasks aren't that hard, but some of them are, like that financial stuff.
What do you do about the tasks you uncover while you're doing a task? So,
well, put that on your problem list right now.
Okay.
I might uncover more tasks. Remember more tasks, I guess is what you mean, right?
Right. It could be a remembering. It could be you turn over that piece of paper and you're like, oh, right, I have to write to so-and-so. And
so let's put that down. Number 5, might uncover new needed tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how are you going to solve that? That happens to me too. They'll often come to me in the middle of the night. I'll wake up and remember 3 things that I've kind of forgot to do.
Right.
Well, how are you going to handle that if that comes to you during that 5 minutes?
Okay. If it comes to me during that 5 minutes, I will just quickly create a card in Trello, and I have a quick input thing on my computer, so I can just boop, boop, and I'll just create a card for it so that it gets logged somewhere.
I like that.
Yeah.
I use a simpler thing, but the same thing. I just have a piece of paper I'll call my do list, and I'll just scratch it down on there and let go of it.
Yeah, I do that. Same thing. I have probably over 100 do lists scattered around with... So
I've got a little file of do lists.
Okay. Wow, we really do have a lot in common, you and I.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Yeah. So how are you going to solve this during that 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Is that a sufficient solution?
It is.
Okay, so we got that one taken care of.
Create the Trello card.
Yeah. And then I've also found that doing simple things on my do list can also be a source of gratification. Some of them are harder, like Jack Hirose asked if he could. I recorded a 2-day workshop that people took online on anxiety disorders, and it's a fantastic workshop in person. But on the online, you know, it wasn't the same. There was no one live. I was just recording it for him. And the feedback, some people loved it, but some people weren't that excited about it. And, you know, I wasn't that excited about it because, like, we're doing live now. This is what I feast on. And with a big audience, I totally love it. And I know I've learned how to do it.
Yeah, that's why I love the live show, too, the live podcast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Then he emailed me. It said, well, like, with this coronavirus, do you mind if I run that workshop again? You know, and he's very fair with me, and he would, you know, pay a good share of the royalties, whatever that comes in from it. But I've been kind of putting it off because I don't like putting out something that's very good. Because in person, they can be way better than very good, like amazing.
Right.
Good. Like standing ovation good. And so that's on my do list, and it'd be easy. You know, I like him and can't do much damage. A very good workshop can't hurt anybody. So, you know, but that's on my kind of do list. There is decide. Jack's fantastic. A guy, by the way, if you ever do any workshops up in Canada.
Oh, good to know.
He's the best. But, you know, but then once I decide on that, that'll give me some energy. So we're all set for 11:35 to 11:40. Any questions about this or your assignment or what we did or why we did it? And
no, I feel pretty clear on that. And that the goal is to either do my 5 minutes and feel successful because I followed through on that,
or even do your 5 minutes and feel more anxious because you realize it is going to be a bit of a chore.
But I'll have done it.
Yeah.
And it's most likely that I'll probably keep working.
I often do, but you don't have to. And if you do keep working, you don't get any credit for it.
Okay.
You get 100% credit at the end of 5 minutes.
Awesome. So there's no extra credit.
Nope.
That's fine. I can live with that. So tell me though, like, because we're talking about ending procrastination. I mean,
and
if I
can only help you for one brief moment of your life.
Right. If I only did
in
5 minutes.
All of the therapy that I do, huh?
If I only
do 5 minutes.
Yeah. If I only do 5 minutes, I'm not going to get all the books done. So I'm going to have to do lots of 5 minutes.
Could I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
You know who I am.
Yes.
I just want to remind you that if you only do 5 minutes, you can't get, that's only a drop in the bucket. You can't get all your accounting done in 5 minutes. And you've got better things to do, too, like what's happening with the coronavirus. That's a worldwide pandemic, and you need to find out.
Right. Well, it's true that I won't finish the books in 5 minutes. But it will feel really good to make some progress. And that will probably help me do another 5 minutes and another 5 minutes.
Who won?
I won.
Big or small?
Big.
Big or huge?
Huge, because I feel pretty at peace with that.
Great.
Yeah.
Beck had a clever way of thinking about those thoughts. He called them ticks, T-I-C-S. You know what a tick is?
Yeah.
You go hiking, you get a tick in your leg or something. Task interfering cognitions. And then what you just did to talk back to them, he called them talks, T-O-C.
Uh-huh.
Task-oriented cognitions. He called that the TikTok technique.
Got it.
I thought that was pretty,
yeah,
you know, cutesy, but in a solid way. What are some more tics?
Yeah, I mean, tics would be things like what we were working on the other day, you know, like this isn't good enough, or you're missing something, or...
Could I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah.
You know, this isn't good enough, what you're doing right now.
Well, I'm not sure why you would even think that, because I made a list of steps. This is actually exactly what I need to be doing in order to get to the end result.
Yeah, but you may be missing something.
Well,
you shouldn't plunge in like this.
Well, the good...
Think through a little better first.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the good news is that all I have to do is this next 5 minutes, and then I can reflect on what I did. And if I missed something, I'll make sure I get it in the next 5 minutes.
Who won?
I won.
Big or small?
Big.
Big or huge?
Huge.
Nice. Cool. Any more ticks?
Well, what I'm just seeing is like, it's like the awareness of those when they're happening versus getting trapped in them.
Yes, right.
Is such a big thing.
Yeah, right.
To see like, oh, that thought is what's happening right now.
Yeah.
So another good one would be there's something more important you should be working on right now.
You know, there's something more important that you should be working on right now.
I'd probably say, oh yeah, what is it?
Well, it's all that stuff, like that editing. Now that's really important, that video, that fantastic video.
Right, I'm going to add that to Trello right now. What else is there that's more important?
Well, almost anything. You should check on the pandemic. The world's falling apart. Check it out.
You know what? I'll make a Trello card for that, and I'll make sure that I do that. All I have to do is this for the next 5 minutes, and then I'll look at Trello and see which seems like the most important thing to do next.
Who won?
I won.
Big or small?
Big.
Big or huge?
Huge.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else? Any more ticks trying to burrow into your skin?
The last one that occurs to me, because those, I think we got kind of like the general, those are the ones that are going to come up. But in particular, with this task, I might look at something and think and get like scared or like... You know, sometimes looking at the financials is a joy, and sometimes looking at the financials can seem pretty stark. And,
Well, you know, Neil, looking at these financials, things might look pretty stark. That's going to be, that's terrifying. You could, if you do this 5 minutes, I mean, you may get very upset.
I think what's upsetting is not knowing what's going on in the financials. And so knowledge is power. And so if in fact there is something upsetting in there, it will be really helpful to know what it is so that I can actually do something about it.
Who won?
I won.
Big or small?
Big and huge.
Big. Yeah. Yeah. And that would be like just the exposure therapy aspect of what we're doing. You know about
right,
exposure.
Like confronting actually doing it and
confronting the fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then typically you discover the monster has no teeth.
Right.
And that's the basis of Buddhism and a lot of things. But yeah, there's that aspect of overcoming procrastination. Any other negative tics? How about I'll do this later when I'm more in the mood?
You've committed to 5 minutes and you're going to do 5 minutes.
Awesome. Awesome. I think I can make two teaching points and you might think of some also. One teaching point is that if you're a therapist trying to help someone with procrastination, don't ever try to help them with motivation.
Hmm.
That's going to have about 100% failure rate. In fact, never try to help a person who's procrastinating because your efforts to help will always fail. And then the procrastination will become your fault as the therapist. So therapists who try to help people with procrastination actually make procrastination worse. A second thing is that it's kind of the same point. When we were going through your do list of the five steps and mm-hmm. then the problems that came up,
mm-hmm.
some of them you acted like you couldn't solve them.
Right.
And it's very important for the therapist not to try to help the patient solve them, because once again, if you try to help, the person will end up procrastination. Your help failed, but it'll be your failure rather than the patient's failure. And so instead, I did what's called sitting with open hands. You know, I was saying, well, maybe there is no solution to this. Maybe then we shouldn't be working on this. And then you suddenly found the determination and the solution. Now, most therapists can't learn to do that because they can't give up their codependent ways. The compulsion to help is profoundly ingrained in the brain circuits of most mental health professionals, and most of them will not be able to stop doing that during this lifetime. But for those who really want to develop skill at working with people with depression, anxiety, relationship problems, or habits and addictions, this is the habit or addiction bucket. Sitting with open hands is tremendously important. Another thing is that we didn't have to do a lot of empathy today because we had it set up already. But you can't just start attacking people with techniques and expect good results. But because we had this great respectful and warm connection, we that was money in the bank that we could capitalize on. Can you think of other teaching points?
Right. Well, I mean, the first thing that just occurs to me is following on what you just said is that we, like, this was the next logical step after all of that work that we did around overwhelm, which
yep.
for me is one of the major factors that feeds into my procrastination is just all of that stuff. So having done yep. all that work, that laid the groundwork.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. The inner and outer solutions. Yeah. Like you're not going to be able to stop procrastination until you've accepted it and given up on beating up on yourself. It's another paradox.
Right.
You kind of had feelings of self-worth tied up in, beating up on yourself.
Exactly.
And so forth. Another thing to spell out what I meant on, don't try to help people who procrastinate.
I was going
to
ask you about that. Yeah.
See, I said, okay, what are the first five things you'd have to do? And so let's see what you want help with. And then I went through and I said, well, let's see, what is it you wanted help with? The first thing would be sitting down in your chair, I think, right?
Right. And so every step along the way, you were simply asking me questions and letting me come up with the solutions.
Yeah, that's right. And you see, I'm trying, now I've misplaced my list, but the first thing was sit down in my chair. And I said, well, is that something you need my help with? Like, what do you need my help with? And then the second thing, is that something you need my help with? And then, you know, the point, it's a kind of a joke that has to be done with kindness, but to make the patient see and make yourself see, there isn't anything that the patient needs your help with.
Right.
And the idea is to make an irreversible 5-minute decision. Why did we limit your commitment to 5 minutes?
I think we limited it to 5 minutes because that seems imminently doable.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you say you're going to do 2 hours, I can guarantee you're not going to do it.
Right. Right, and even 30 minutes might seem like, okay, well, in order to do 30 minutes, I'm going to have to find 30 minutes, and I don't know if I can do that because I have to check my email a half dozen times.
Yeah.
So, but being able to commit to 5 minutes, that seems like something someone could do at any time in any place. And
yeah.
Yeah, carve out that 5 minutes.
Now, what is the rationale behind the I stubbornly refuse technique? In other words, I asked you, would you agree to send me an email at 11:35 today, which either I stubbornly refused or mission accomplished, and you agreed to do that. What was that all about?
Well, I'm assuming that the I stubbornly refused is in reference to I kept working. I refused to stop at 5 minutes, and so that's that would be like a paradoxical.
Well, no, it's not. The question is, I mission accomplished means I did my 5 minutes, and
right.
I stubbornly refused means I refused to do that 5 minutes.
Oh, period.
Yeah, at 11:35, you send me one of those two emails telling me if you did it, this is a 5-minute assignment or not, if you completed your five minutes. But what's the purpose of that?
Well, I feel like it would allow me to take responsibility for my actions, no matter whether I chose action or inaction.
Yeah, right, and it also brings a social pressure to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you use this as another podcast on procrastination, which probably a lot of your fans have that problem and might find it interesting, how many people will hear you saying that you made that commitment?
How many will hear? Oh, right. Lots.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I wonder how many people are going to write and say, like, did you do your 5 minutes? You
know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that is using the resources you have. But for a tip to a therapist, I've had a few patients over the years said, I'll do the assignment, but I won't send that email because it sounds silly. And then what I said to them, okay, well, what you're really saying to me is no, thank you, doctor. And so I'm going to withdraw the assignment, and perhaps we can work on something else. Because 100% of the patients who said they wouldn't send an email, they never did the assignment. And 100% of the ones who said I will send that email, I've never had someone who didn't complete the assignment. So it's really a nice thing. And then the therapist gets rewarded too, by making the patient accountable. It just the session doesn't end at the end when the patient walks out of your office. There's some ongoing, you know, connection there. So anyway, that's about it.
Right. And I think there's some humor involved too. That's something that I've noticed in all of this work, that flavoring it with humor or humility, that also seems really helpful, both in keeping it light and also counteracting the perfectionism, perhaps, that...
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And when there's always a lot of humor in my therapy, often much more than what we've had. One of my podcasts was a series of live therapy with Marilyn Coffey, who had just learned 2 days before the session that she had terminal lung cancer.
Oh, wow.
And she was enraged and panicked intensely and depressed 100 out of 100. because she'd never been a smoker, and she was terrified of dying, and she had suddenly lost her faith in God, and she was beating up on herself for that. And I treated her with one of my students, Matt May. We had I always have 2-hour therapy sessions because I'm trying to complete most of the work in one session. And she, in about an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it was, we published it over several podcasts with commentaries, but just one session, she went from horrifically disturbed to not only undisturbed, but really euphoric. And it just shows it's not the events of this world that make us feel the way we do. It's our thoughts, and it was all our thoughts. I'm not good enough religiously, and all these kind of self-critical thoughts, very similar to the ones we worked on together, actually. But when I listened to it, I was surprised that about a third of our session, we were giggling, the three of us. And it, you know, laughter is such a healing dimension. And you know, I rarely talk about it in my teaching because I don't know how to teach humor. But I think it is so beautifully anti-perfectionistic. And the message is just hanging out. I just love to hang out with you. And this might be, and it just it's fun to be open and vulnerable and real with people rather than trying to impress somebody. I mean, it's fine to have high standards, but perfectionism and beating up on yourself is something that has not been terribly effective for me. And like today, it was just like flowing, and you know, being alive. You say that, people don't know what it means, but it's that's where the creativity comes, where the joy comes.
Yeah. What would you suggest? So those were some great guideposts for like a therapist working with a client around procrastination. Let's say someone listening is just like, all right, I want to do this myself. So I know I need to figure out 5 minutes and.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've done this, but on my website where I have all my podcasts listed, I have a search function that I was able to install on WordPress, mm-hmm. and it's fantastic. And you can just type in procrastination and all the relevant podcasts on it will pop right up. And there was one similar to what we just did, but it's like for the listener, mm-hmm. how to overcome your own procrastination. But they'd essentially do the same steps is decide, are you willing, what time of day would you like to end your procrastination? And if they say tomorrow, then I say, oh, well, I can't help you tomorrow. I could only help you today. You know, it's impossible to end procrastination tomorrow, but it's possible to end it today. And then, like, what's one thing, just exactly what we did, what's one thing you'd like to get started on? And then break it up into five little steps, each of which is about 30 seconds or a minute. And then agree to do those steps and make your problem solution list. What's going to interfere with doing step one? What's going to interfere with doing step two? And how am I going to solve those things? The TikTok technique is good too, but it's not central anymore. I used to think that was the solution, but it's more like the afterburner type of thing. And the real issue is to make that commitment to work 5 minutes and make it an irreversible commitment. And if you're willing to do that, you're well on the road. And if you're not willing to do that, well, that's okay too. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life.
Right, right. And I'm glad that you reminded me of that very important step at the very beginning of choosing a time today when it was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What time of day would you like to be cured? Well, this was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure, and we got lots of this. This is going to be a monumental. We might just have to have like a whole month's worth of episodes be this conversation that we've had.
We could. Okay. Well, have a great one, and always a pleasure.
Okay. Take care, David. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Relationship Alive. If you like what you've heard and want to make it easier for other people to find out about us, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and to rate and review us on iTunes. If you have questions or comments or want to continue the conversation, you can always join our Relationship Alive community Facebook group. And for more information about today's episode, visit us online at neilsatin.com/podcast. Or you can always text the word PASSION, P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to the number 33444 for more information. Finally, do you have a burning question that you're hoping we can have answered here on Relationship Alive, either for a future or past guest? Let me know and I'll see what I can do. Take care and see you next time.